Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that sound means. It is time for another episode of Bina and Brady with a beer in a bathtub. I am Bina.
I'm Brady.
Brady, I think we need to start on a tangent. And that tangent is, do we need a new name for this podcast?
I think we do. I've been thinking this for a while. That takes forever to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's part of the charm.
That is part of the charm. But, like, and B&B, phenomenal naming scheme.
It sounds like a radio. It sounds like a radio station.
It really does.
With too many letters.
Whenever you're trying to get somebody to subscribe or like, what does that stand for? Or whatever, it takes like a year and a half, and like halfway through, you can see their eyes gloss over. They don't really want to be in the conversation anymore.
It sounds like you're trying to pitch this to kind of a boring audience. Do we want boring subscribers for this?
Yes. We want all subscribers.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you subscribe. Brady, tell them how.
iTunes. If you're listening, you're already there.
Oh.
Subscribe.
There you go. Because wherever there you go, here you are.
There you are. No matter where you go.
I know what it is. I know you stole it from New Girl, and I'll never forgive you for it.
I did not. I stole it from a movie that I've never seen that stole it from a book I've never read.
Damn. Damn, I don't know how to respond to that. Brady, I guess this is our opportunity to ask the audience what our name should be. Are we going through a rebrand?
Yeah, we're going through a rebrand. I think it's time. Time to, you know, take this seriously.
I mean, to be fair, we've not done this podcast drinking beer or in a bathtub for like 2 years.
I know. We've done a hungover a good bit, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, we still keep our core principles in place. We have standards here.
Right, yeah. Standards and practices.
Also, we should tell our audience that if it sounds any different than usual, it's because Brady doesn't have a computer that works right now. And so we're going full speakerphone for this recording.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. It takes all the pressure off of me with editing, because now he has to edit it.
Wait, what? That wasn't part of the deal?
Wait, what?
Have you altered the deal? Should I be praying that you don't alter it further?
Yeah, one might call it a new deal.
Damn, such a historically accurate reference.
About podcasts.
Brady, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to be in timely fashion, in the way that we normally work here at BNBWBNB. We're almost through with the World Cup. We're about a little over halfway through, and we thought, now's the time to fix it. Not before and not after. We're just doing we're going peak irrelevancy here.
Well, we need to give FIFA enough time to fix it by the championship match.
Right, exactly. And they're going to change all of the group stage changes and retroactively,
Just run it back.
Just run it back. Just do it again. This is fun. This is fun, FIFA. Don't do it every 4 years.
Yeah. First fix. Do this twice a year. No, I've come full circle on the World Cup, and right now I would describe it as just as much fun as March Madness.
Yeah, it's just as much fun as March Madness for people that don't normally watch the sport.
Yeah, but which, in my experience, is everyone. I don't know one person watching this sport for fun.
You don't know one person watching this sport for fun, and you don't know anybody watching basketball for fun, so this is perfect.
No, we do this for our jobs. This is our profession.
Right.
As professional amateur podcasters, we are required to watch these things.
Yeah, we definitely should quit our jobs.
But here's my comparison to March Madness. What's the most fun thing that people experience for March Madness?
The beginning. First weekend.
The first weekend, because there's 100 games and they are mostly happening while you're at work.
Right, exactly. That was kind of the opening whatever for the World Cup.
Yeah, every game was happening when you were at work.
Yeah, between the hours of 8 and 2 Eastern time.
Yeah. Main time.
Specific time.
Specifically Eastern time. And yeah, and they're just happening back to back to back. Stuff is going on all the time, and you're constantly running around trying to figure out what just happened. Anytime you walk into a new room, you have no idea if people have been watching or not, so you get to have the same conversation over again. It's the
I know,
best.
I agree. It makes you makes it very easy to go on autopilot, and that's great. Ah, man, I love autopilot.
He's made a career out of it.
Who, me? What?
10 minutes into the podcast, Brady just hits autopilot. And just
Yeah,
starts
that's great.
hitting the greatest hits. So
Erica,
so
follow
is
me.
would well here's the thing, Brady. Would making the World Cup happen more often affect how much fun it is?
Yes, absolutely. It would.
So it kind of has to be every 4 years.
It doesn't have to be every four. I was trying to think of what, like, where the diminishing returns line is. And I don't think it's like at four.
You think two?
I'm thinking it's somewhere between two and three is the line. So like two might be a little too often. Three might be a little, like three would be better than what we have now, for sure.
Every 3 years. But is 3 years and like, is that enough of a change? I feel like we're looking for bold strokes here.
Well, we got them. We certainly got them this year. Where Germany's the winner last year or last World Cup and out in the group stages in this World Cup. Like that's the biggest change you can possibly have, other than
Except that happens
strange.
almost every year. Like the last like f six or seven champions have gotten bounced in
That's
the
true.
group stage.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Is every 4 years that happens?
Oh. What?
Right.
All right, I've stopped listening
Great.
already. Are you on autopilot?
I'm
So
already on. Yeah.
that'd be so 3 years is what we're good with.
Yeah, I think so. Here's the argument for four over three is that the Olympics is every four as well on the off years that we have. So we don't have the Olympics in years that we have the World Cup.
Yeah, because the World Cup is the same year as the Winter Olympics, right?
We're doing
Yes.
Olympics this year? Yes.
And the Summer Olympics is every year we get a new president. Coincidence?
Yes.
All right, checks out.
So my point being is that if we go to every three, then like every fourth World Cup, the Olympics will match up or whatever. And like then you just have this overwhelming, and maybe that's good. Maybe that's like we have sports overload in the months that we normally don't have sports, and that'll be a crazy change. But it also might lead to the fact that nobody cares about any of it because you have sports overload.
Yeah, sports overload is what you want to avoid. You do want to create a distraction from terrible baseball.
Yes, exactly. These months, so the years that we have distractions in World Cup and Olympics is are the are these years rather is that's the time that I care about the World Series the most, the years that I care about the World Series the most, because I didn't have to watch all these fucking diving catches that are 7 out of 10 top plays each day,
Yeah.
which every diving catch is the same. Hot take. Nothing baseball is doing athletically is impressing me. Nothing. That's not why we watch, I don't think.
Why do we watch?
We shouldn't.
And we don't. Yeah, no, so here's my proposal is instead of making the Soccer World Cup more frequent, we just have better summer distractions. We make the FIBA World Cup of basketball more exciting and interesting
Yeah, I agree. It'll just make people care about these things.
by making them fun. So we've got a World Cup for soccer, we've got a World Cup for basketball that will make more fun. We're going to get a World Cup for handball and a
Ooh, that's
world.
good. I was short story. Well, finish yours.
No, keep going. We're all about
I was
tangents
just,
here.
yeah, short story. I was in the hospital working with this Italian guy this week.
Yeah.
And I was like, asked him, like, oh, like, what sports do you care about outside of soccer? He's like, oh, we really don't care about sports outside of soccer. Oh, well, like, what about hand, like, team handball? And he goes, what? I was like, handball. And he goes, what? He didn't know, like, what the English translation for it was. He goes, like, Paloma or something like that. And I was like, oh, like, they play with those small little things. He goes, Paloma. And he goes, yeah, that sport's shit. Like, we don't watch that at all. I was like, oh, well, as a former player, I take offense to that.
We've been living a lie. We were told that people cared about this sport out of this country.
But yeah, anyway, World Cup of
Speaking of sports that are only cared about in one country, the fourth one, Ultimate Frisbee.
You want a World Cup of Ultimate Frisbee?
I do. What's the alternative? Quidditch? Hot take. I'd rather play Quidditch than Ultimate Frisbee.
Same. Which is funny because the two guys, Zach and Nick, they both hate hate Quidditch.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, it's basically all of the same problems as Ultimate, which is dumb sport for dumb people.
Right, for dumb people. I have a friend that's on the U.S. national team.
For Quidditch. Is that true?
Yeah.
How do we not bring them on the pod?
He's an old family friend. I haven't talked to him in years.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat that he is. He was living in Boston. I just never, like,
bro, I'll never forgive you for this just great potential guest that you let slip
heinous
through our fingers.
Yeah. Well, that was our way to the big time, was to get these famous people like
like national team members of Quidditch. First question, really, when are you going to get rid of the brooms? You look like idiots. You can't fly, guys. You're muggles.
You know you can't fly, right?
So, that was a great tangent. But I think that we should just have some international sporting event happen every year that people care about.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that we have to trick the entire world into caring, or at least like half the world. About 32 countries, give or take, into caring. Each and every year. And I don't think it's not doable. We need to find the correct marketing and sport to do it in. I don't think World Cup, I don't think Quidditch is that sport.
Oh, dude. I think it might have to be. We don't have a choice.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the one we can't change. Basketball, fine.
Well, just think about what sports are played internationally. I mean, people get into cricket. I've seen people get up at midnight to watch cricket matches.
There is a World Cup of cricket. I tell you which one I would watch. Which sport I would watch?
Yeah.
Is Australian rules football.
Okay.
That sport is just the best sport.
It's pretty nuts. It's kind of all over the place.
It's insane. I used to come home from like parties in high school and stuff, and I would sit up till like 5 in the morning watching it after those, like, because it's the only time it's on.
Right.
But I get home at 2, turn it on, and just sit there and like, I should be in bed, but this is so interesting.
It's a pretty wild sport. The only thing I don't believe about that story is that
I had parties.
There aren't high school parties. That's a myth. That's a myth that television has taught you. American Pie lied to us.
I'm like a foreigner that's coming into this country. It's like, oh, like you guys have parties, right? Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, the classic exchange student. So that's my fix for the World Cup, first off, is have more of them. Less related to soccer.
Right, yeah. It can be sports that nobody cares about. We see that. As long as their nation's in it, they'll probably care.
Yeah, and as long as every commercial that airs, like, 4 months leading up to it has something to do with it. Like, come on, Volkswagen. Come on, McDonald's. Get in on these. Yeah. Get in on the ground floor of the Quidditch World Cup. What are we doing here?
You should hear us do a theme song for it.
Yeah, the biggest bummer of this year's World Cup is there has not been one Shakira theme song. What the heck is that about?
I've just thrown away the theme songs of this World Cup, and I've just been listening to Waving Flag and then Waka Waka over and over and over again. Or this time for Africa.
Were those? So there was South Africa. Where was it last time?
Brazil.
Did she have one for Brazil?
I don't know.
I don't know. Did she have two for the South Africa one?
She had... No, Waving Flag was, Kanaan.
Was what?
Kanaan, the guy, Kanaan.
I don't know who that is.
He does this, the immigrant song for, the Hamilton mixtapes.
Oh! Yeah, he needed to have one for Russia. There's gotta be some, like, weird Russian, like, dubstep artist that could have done a weird dubstep theme song for this World Cup.
Agreed.
Instead, so last thing, the lasting impression of Russia that I'm going to have from this is the stupid Comic Sans Russian font that everything is in.
Right. Yeah.
Which,
I don't necessarily like it either.
Oh, I love it. No, don't get me wrong. I also love Comic Sans.
Oh, okay, good. I don't like it. I liked it might be the same, whatever. I don't know. The font in 2010 was the height of World Cup for me. Like, that was where it all culminated. I had just gotten done playing soccer.
Yeah.
For my career.
Oh, dang.
I was still, like, you know, that whole missing the sport type of thing. And it was just the height of it. So, like, everything about that, the two theme songs, the font, the vuvuzelas, everybody hates those. I loved them.
I loved them. I had one. I brought it to every sporting event I could.
I hate them now. Like, obviously, like, they should have been World Cup specific.
Yeah.
And they should have, at the end of that World Cup, they should have taken every vuvuzela and put it on each of the fields and burned them.
And so burned the, them. So the stadium, heating, providing heat for all the world.
Right. And burning the stadiums to the ground, because we know how stadiums just go unused after these things.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is.
But we're not going to try and fix anything real or significant, like empty stadiums. Don't take this the wrong way, audience. Yeah, I agree with you. The 2010 World Cup was the first one that I really cared about. I remember watching in 2006, but I really got into it for 2010. Because that was the one where the English goalie, like, forgot how to play soccer for 2 seconds, and the ball just dribbled past him.
Yeah, 2010, yeah.
Yeah, what an idiot. I made fun of him so much.
Was it John something Green?
Yeah, and then I developed an actual rivalry with a country I can't even remember anymore. Angora?
Ghana.
Angola? And Ghana? Ghana.
That's Ghana. Back to fixing the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what people have a problem with the World Cup is the rules of soccer, because people are dumb and don't understand rules.
Yeah, this is really you fixing the audience of the World Cup than it is anything else.
Right. People don't get offsides. Offsides is the most simple rule there is.
Right.
You can't be behind the last defender when the ball is played.
Here's my question to you. Why do you have defenders? Just play offense. No one can get behind you.
So in your half of the field.
So just play at the half court line.
Fair. But so once the ball is played, like, ball is passed to that person, and that person can still run with the ball.
Yeah, don't let them get past you. The first rule of defense.
Right, yeah. Well, and it's when the ball is played, so if they play it to a corner, like, the guy can run onto the ball if he was onsides when the ball was passed.
Yeah, don't let him onsides when the ball is passed. It sounds a simple concept here.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get it. You understand.
All right.
You brought up something the other day, which was stoppage time confuses the shit out of everybody.
That's true.
Which is that they add 5 minutes at the end to the clock and still do a running clock, and then it 7 minutes in, they still haven't called it because there was some sort of injury on the other side.
Right. And it's so arbitrary. Like, have you ever put a timer on stoppage time and how much it should be versus how much they give? They way undercut it.
Oh, probably, yeah. And that's what FIFA's rules were. Or FIFA's initiative for this World Cup was to try and fix that a little bit. And so, I don't know if you've noticed, but they used to just do, like, 2 to 3 minutes of stoppage time, and then it'd go into, like, the 4 and 5. But now what they're doing is trying to find the average of, like, what it normally takes in stoppage time. Like, say they wanted 3 minutes extra. How many minutes do we actually have to add to get those 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Analytics,
so man. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, so they'll go up there and put 4 or 5 minutes up. And, like, before this year, rarely did you see anything over 3. Or before, like, maybe 2 or 3 years ago in soccer, we rarely saw anything over, like, 2 or 3 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah. See, this is where they painted themselves into a corner, because with the technology we have today, it'd be really easy for them to just have a second clock up on the screen for us to see stoppage time being counted.
Yeah. Or
that's just what I want.
Tell the audience. Just say, hey, the ref, you keep playing, you just let it play until it's done.
Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, I'm always a proponent of getting rid of any graphic that tells you what's going on. You should just have to pay attention.
Yeah, just pay attention.
When it hits, when it hits like 40 minutes and like 85 minutes left, the clock just goes out and it could end at any time, making every game much more exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the basketball tournament,
which started this weekend.
Oh, did it? Okay, so that was my biggest gripe, is that this is not the basketball tournament. This should be all former or former college players, and they should make their teams based on social media and that alone. They can't play in the pros.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is the best.
Yeah. That's a better World Cup.
Yeah, I'm going to start tuning into that. Also, our viewers should know the Russia-Spain game just started. So
I know. I'm watching.
Yeah, so well, guys, of course. So you could be getting our live reactions in 2 weeks. Brady, so you want to... You mostly are just trying to teach ignorant soccer fans, like...
Right. So, as we've said, this happens every 4 years, and we like to kind of... We want to promote these, not obscure sports, but lesser-known sports or whatever, through these series of World Cups. And as a result, they're not going to know what's happening. So my biggest gripe with everything that we've said so far is that nobody's going to know what's happening. And then we're just going to get these annoying fucking fans. Fair weather fans. So
the Die Easy fans.
If you want to be a fan of these sports, fucking learn the rules.
Learn the damn rules.
Watch a 10-minute YouTube video on like all the rules. It takes 10 minutes, and then you know forever.
It should be noted at this point that I am definitely one of those fans that you're describing that
knows the rules
and is totally fine with that, and is trying to constantly change it to be more like sports I'm familiar with.
I'm well aware that you're one of those fans, and I'm well aware that I'm also one of those players. I played handball for a year. I have no idea.
You know less about the sport than you did when you started.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
I will say this. I have been a part of team ban offsides since probably 2003, and it wasn't until 2016 where I was like, nah, all right, I see its value.
It took 13 years to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. I've seen many soccer matches in that time. I became a pretty big diehard Clemson soccer fan.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I watched the World Cup.
What?
I said I watched the World Cup.
You weren't in Clemson yet for the World Cup, were you?
Yeah, I start that summer. I moved down here, so I started that World Cup in Pennsylvania and moved down in 2014. Gotcha. Yeah, I actually, so that year, for some reason, ESPN had live look-ins at different, like, cities in America, and so they had a Chicago bar, they had a New York City bar, and they had a Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, like, outdoor facility that we were watching in.
One of these things does not belong.
Yeah, it was definitely New York City. Those chumps don't even know sports.
Yeah, they don't know sports. They just yell, get out of here, I'm walking here.
Hey, I'm walking here.
That's all of New York.
Back to Long Island. Oh, man. That's just a special shout out for my boy Dan, who is definitely the only real soccer fan that I know because it's his actual job. And also, check out, if you like soccer and podcasts, check out the Barcelona podcast on iTunes. Subscribe now. Not an official sponsor.
Until they start paying us.
I did ask him how much it would be to be a sponsor on his podcast, because I really wanted to promote our podcast. Because you know how many crossover Barcelona fans and interested in stupid nonsense people there are out there.
Yeah, it's all of them.
He's just got an international audience. Who knows what they like?
Man. Should we just start, when are we rebranded, should we just start naming it like different things each week?
Yes, we should have a different title. It should not be the same podcast channel. Impossible to find again.
Well, I mean, like, we name it Real Madrid. rename it, whatever.
Yeah, Real Madrid, like Drunk Kitchen, like whatever other, like Artisan Donuts, whatever these millennials are into these days.
Maybe we do that with the episode titles. We get a very generic, like multi-meaning series title, and then we get an episode title per, or that's just like, yeah, Drunk Kitchen or whatever it is. I think that's the way to get to the international audience. We hijack the iTunes algorithm.
Yep. Oh man, we are the clickbaitiest of clickbaits. That's how we need to fix the pod. That's really what we do. This every segment of fixing things is just how do we fix this podcast.
Like 3 months later, we're like, I still haven't got any more viewers.
So I want to. I have a point to make about the World Cup that I think is a legitimate point.
Okay.
So I want to change the tone from the hilarious jocularity that we are usually using, and get serious here for a second.
Break it down for me.
I fell in love this year with the Senegalese team. Senegal team.
What'd you say? Yeah, Senegal.
Made up of the Senegalese. And they were great. They did a fun warm-up. Some international hero put that warm-up to the theme of DuckTales, which is easily the best moment of the World Cup so far.
Yeah, that's not even close. I watched it this morning.
I've watched it every day since it came into my life. Another shout out to Dan and his Twitter feed for bringing that in. Dan Hilton 13. That might be wrong. I don't know.
Find him.
Dan Hilton on Twitter. It's been amazing. I love this team. They play fun. They play fast. They play wild and some might say undisciplined. They take risks. It's everything that the World Cup needs.
Yeah, you need to for a team to like that to win the World Cup, which is the ultimate goal, you have to take risks. Like, you don't have the talent that the Spanish sides and Belgian sides and all that stuff. So you have to force the issue.
As the world famous duo that pretended to be cheerleaders to try and hook up with high school girls once said, "You got to risk it for the biscuit."
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about?
Isn't that a movie? Wasn't that a movie? It's like Stick It, but with cheerleaders. I don't know. Check Comedy Central later this Sunday afternoon, and I'm sure it'll be on. No, it was after Bring It On.
Bring It On 2?
Yeah, there it is. Bring It On 2, the musical. Hold on a second. So, I love the Senegal team. Their colors were cool. And they get bounced from the tournament, from the World Cup, due to fair play points. Fair play points! Brady, explain what that means.
They should have been fair. It's I think yellow cards are -1, and then red cards are -3, and red yellow card is -4.
Okay, all right. But when does it get used? What does it mean?
It's a tie. So that's a tiebreaker. It only gets used coming out. Usually, it gets used coming out of the group stage.
Yep.
When all other tiebreakers equal, I think there's like 6 tiebreakers.
So it goes points, it goes wins, goal differential, goal scored, goals against.
Oh, yeah, head to head is actually a thing too.
Head to head, all of these things.
Head to head's the first one, then it's goals scored, goals allowed, or goal differential, whatever. All these things. It's 6 or 7 different things.
And so when all of those tied, as it was true for Senegal and Japan, it goes to these fair play points. Now, Brady, we've talked a lot about how to fix sports in the podcast. What's the number one fix for every sport?
Get the refs fucking out of this game.
Get rid of the refs. Ban refs. Let them call their own fouls. Let them just play the sport that we all came to watch them play. Why would we put anything in the hands of something that we already know is pretty volatile? Like, the number of yellow cards given out is not equal across refs.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they have to do some sort of normalizing.
There is no normalization process.
Yeah. This ref gives 3 times the amount of yellow cards and red cards as any other ref. So when we're doing fair play points, his are a third of the worth.
Right, exactly. Why not just do like percent of passes completed or time of possession or some other arbitrary metric that's easy to measure?
Well, yeah, and so I agree with that for this reason only, is that coming out of a group, those things are equal. Like, you've played the same competition.
Right.
Everybody's played the same teams, with the exception of yourself.
Never play yourself.
You never play yourself.
Unless DJ Khaled's involved.
So, do something that is on its surface, at least, equal. But fair play points, they're the least equal thing that you could possibly do. And it's rewarding being passive.
Why would we ever reward people that aren't aggressive in this sport?
Right. Like, God, I wonder what the Swiss team would. Did they have any yellow cards at all? They're so neutral.
They're so neutral. God, what a joke.
So good. I made it yesterday, too. And the person I was with, Jesus Christ, what's happening there? Sorry, this guy just started, like, joking off on television.
What? What is happening?
I made that joke yesterday. The person I made it to just like stared at me, and I go, "Yeah, it's like that's like one of my favorite jokes." And she's like, "What are you talking about? I don't think that bitch knew that neutrality was a thing."
Are you making a little Dickie reference?
I mean, kind of.
Hilarious. Oh! He scored! Goal!
Damn it, dude! I'm behind.
Are you?
Shit.
Anyway, so.
That's our live reaction to the 11th minute of
real time, not stoppage time. Although that would be pretty impressive. So Brady, going back to my point, fair play points. Here's how I would fix it. The seventh tiebreaker is you take your two fastest players and they just run the length of the field.
What?
You take your two fastest players, you just have them run the length of the field. Just have it played out on the field by two people that are doing something athletic. Ha, own goal. What an idiot.
Bring them. Yeah, it's definitely an own goal. Bring them all out and do fucking PKs. Like, we already have this.
Yeah, no, I don't see why you don't do PKs. Also, did you know in the MLS in the 90s, they did PKs like hockey?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Amazing.
They were trying to experiment and figure out what worked because nobody really liked
soccer in America.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, which leads me to my next fix. I feel like we fixed fair play.
Yeah, the next fix. Don't do it.
My entire life, I've been hearing nothing but people talk about how important it is for the American soccer to get better and to be in the World Cup and to get Americans excited about this sport in general. How do you build American soccer fans? The fix is easy. Make America an automatic qualifier in the World Cup every year. Why are we overthinking this? If we want American soccer fans, just put us in the tournament.
You do know that we're the ones saying that Americans should care. It's not the world. The world could give a shit if we care about soccer.
Are you sure? Every news outlet I've ever seen talk about this has been pretty pro-American soccer fan.
Right. Do you know what news outlets you're watching or are you looking at?
Wait, hold on. So ESPN, what's their slogan? The what? Wide world of what? The what? The worldwide.
Famous sport.
The worldwide something. Something something. Sports. Worldwide. Worldwide. Just gonna keep saying it.
Yeah, I mean, we also call the baseball championship the World Championship.
No, that's not what we call it. How dare
the
you?
The World Series. Yeah, we say when they won the World Series, they won a World Championship.
And which team is included in that? The Toronto Blue Jays? I rest my case.
We don't want it to be an international thing so much so that we got rid of the Montreal Expos.
They got rid of themselves.
God, I love the Expos so much.
Vladimir Guerrero! He hit home runs off the ground!
He did. He fucking... golf club swing.
Stop trying to use the word golf every time you get a chance. It sounds so dumb.
Yeah, you're right. I am dumb. Am I dumb? Yes, I'm dumb.
Yes, you might be dumb. Brady, is there anything else we can do to fix this World Cup?
Nah, I think ultimately you just need to fix the fans. Once the fans are good, they will come.
Oh, finally, I have one more. Penalty kicks should be worth half a goal. Penalty kick goals.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. it would do two things. One, this it's so easy to score off a penalty kick. Once you have a penalty kick, it's like an 80% success rate, maybe more, maybe a little bit more, depending on the player taking it.
Yeah.
So it would do that. It would one, take away from that value, because there's no shot on the field that's worth 80%. Period. So why are the free throws already done this and cut it in half?
Right.
But two, refs have this arbitrary, not arbitrary, they have this like just a taboo line in their head on when to call a foul and when not to, even though people are definitely getting fouled.
Right.
In the box, they won't call it.
It's like how much did he earn a goal here?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, if a person's 18 yards out or less from the goal, the ref will not call a foul unless, like, it's egregious. But as soon as you get to 19 yards, everything's a foul again.
Right.
Like it would help get rid of that just stupid and arbitrary line of what a foul is.
Yeah. Which I support.
Fixes ref.
So that's my last fix for soccer and the World Cup.
Agreed.
To recap, no more fair play points. Let it happen on the field. Penalty kicks, a sprint to the finish, something. A relay race, even.
A relay race would be fun.
Three-legged relay race.
Ooh, you have your entire bench do this.
Exactly. And coach.
Ooh, that would be good. So you're now hiring coaches based on athletic ability.
Which you should have been doing anyway.
Right, yeah, because if they weren't athletic at one point, what the hell are they doing here?
And one fan can pay his way onto the team for the sprint finish.
Ooh, pay his way on?
Yep. It's a fundraising event.
Okay, so does the team has no say, and it's just whoever pays the most money.
It's whoever pays the most money. And it would definitely be Vladimir Putin on the Russian team.
So the problem with that, do they have to have any affiliation to the team? Do they have to be a proven, like, for Spain? Do they have to be a proven Spanish fan?
Same rules as, like, to get on a national team. You got to have some level of citizenship or something.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay, I'm here for that. I was going to say, because, like, you just have these Russians paying to be on the team. And then
on the Korean team and on the Spanish team.
They just sit down.
Amazing. I'm in for that too. Here's the one thing we didn't discuss. You definitely need to have more corruption in FIFA. I just don't feel like there's enough.
There's definitely not enough.
Because what's one of the first mottos of this podcast given to us by our first guest?
I don't remember. It's Luke, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't trying. One of those Petriisms.
Petriisms. What is that guy even doing these days?
I knew he was in Williamstown.
Yeah,
Williamsburg,
he's probably dead.
He's probably dead. He probably fucking killed him.
Damn. All right, Brady, you ready to talk about this series finale of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, let's do this. This is a pretty exciting, but also not exciting episode.
As they all are. So as always, we're going to try and find our top three winners from Game of Thrones. The series finale.
Yeah, series finale. Do you feel like this series wrapped up correctly?
Never. I feel like it's been going off the rails since season 4.
Yeah, but I will say this season 8 kind of brought it back for me. A little bit.
Yeah, well, because they go ahead.
It almost felt like the fans got what they wanted. and that they took it out of the writer's hands. Took it out of D.B. Weiss's hands.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty bold. I don't know if you noticed this. But in the opening credits where it says screenplay by, it just said several Reddit threads. So I think they really put it in the hands of the fans this year. I don't know what the deal was.
That's great. That's wonderful. I mean, like, yeah, give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah. So I think ultimately the series wrapped up fine. Basically, trying to undo the damage done by DB Cooper.
DB Cooper and his Weissman. Well, I mean, it's like this. It's like everyone already knows. Everything that you thought was going to happen, happened.
Right. Which which is the dream. I don't want any variability.
Why would you ever want any surprise in a television program?
I don't know.
We need to go back to the 50s, where everything was cookie cutter and hilarious.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hot pie. Hot pie?
Hot pie.
Hot pie. Yep. What was he up to this episode? He had a huge role this episode.
Yeah.
Coming back out of nowhere. He hasn't been like in the limelight in a long time.
Well, yeah, it was weird because he was killed in episode 2, and so I completely forgot he was around. But before he died, he made one final pie that held more people in it. More Freys were fed to other Freys.
So many Freys.
That's his lasting contribution, is teaching Arya how to bake a pie. And it finally came back.
We had the flashback to when he was teaching Arya how to make a pie.
Yeah.
I had a little cooking episode in it. This mm-hmm. episode was long.
It was, it was 3.5 days. And, this part was brought to you by some random YouTube, cooking channel. And that's exactly how it felt.
I was going to say, the guy that does Nightmare Kitchen or whatever.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
So hot pie baked a pie for Samwell Tarly to inspire him to go back to the Citadel and become the maester he was always meant to be the narrator of the entire story. It all happened because of a pie.
I was kind of confused on this. Was it just the symbol on the top that inspired him to do it, or was there like a secret potion type of thing in there to inspire him to go?
See, I understand your confusion, and it's because you never read the books, but if you read the books, it would be very clear that it was a combination of the two.
Oh. All
right, who's next?
Hot Pie. God, this, like you said, 3.5 hours. It's too long for a TV show.
Yeah.
It almost felt like a movie.
Right. Because every great series ends with a movie, hashtag Entourage.
So, I think this one is straight out of Reddit, from what I remember about Reddit and about this episode.
In this alternate universe, Reddit has been destroyed. From what I remember about Reddit, it's been many years.
This episode was so long that, society came down.
Yeah. Around us, because everyone was too busy watching Game of Thrones.
Exactly. The Russians really swooped in and took care of us.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name in the first episode or the first season that Ned Stark?
Oh, what?
No, Arya's sword teacher,
the water dancer, Silvio, Sirio.
Yeah, it's weird that I don't remember that, because that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah, because he just did a thing.
He just did a thing 2.5 days ago. And so this one's straight out of Reddit, right? Is the fact that Mysterio is actually the faceless man. And
he is from Braavos.
And is from Braavos, exactly. So the faceless man came back and just murdered everybody that Arya asked him to. Or it was Arya. I was really confused on this as well.
Yeah, see, I thought the faceless man became Arya. Like, Arya never made it out of the House of Black and White, and she just had her face ripped off, and the faceless man just was Arya.
Yeah, that makes sense. That actually makes sense from what we were saying. I'm trying to write this say this in a way to not spoil everything for people that didn't have time to watch this entire episode.
Spoiler alert, we're spoiling everything.
Alright.
There. Sorry, Brady. I didn't give a warning, but now here we are.
But I thought the biggest reveal for her, or for her, faceless woman man, was that it was Cersei the whole time.
My God.
Yeah, it was wild. And it turns out Cersei was trying to do good for the realm and not just for herself.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest shock since Saving Private Ryan.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
Me neither.
Okay.
I never intend to. So Cersei comes out, and it's revealed that she's actually been good the whole time, leaving room for who actually was bad the whole time.
It was Jaime.
Oh, damn.
The crowd favorite Jaime.
Yeah, who knew that a guy that has that from the first episode pushed a child out a window was actually bad?
Yeah, who knew that a guy with a nickname Kingslayer, who took an oath and then killed his own king, is bad?
And is really the whole reason for the war between the North and the South. It's like, bruh, don't stab Ned Stark's dudes. Or him himself.
Why is he doing that? Doesn't matter. It really came out of nowhere that he was the bad guy. Nobody could have seen that coming.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I'm going to give my last MVP of the series.
Okay. Yeah.
Was after all of our heroes, every character still alive, goes up to the North and defeats all of the Frozen Men. I give the MVP to the giant eagles that carried them all back home and probably could have just solved the entire war themselves.
Yeah, that would have been, you could have just dropped all the Frozen Men, as you put it, into Mount Mordor right up there, or Mount Doom.
Yeah, or the Wall, or some other fantasy element.
Yeah, why did they use a frozen wall to keep out frozen people?
You got to use what's at your disposal, man. If you got ice, you got to use ice. When life hands you lemons.
Yeah, but they're magic frozen people, though. I feel like they should have just been able to,
And it was a magic frozen wall.
Yeah, but, couldn't they just phase through the ice?
It's like fighting fire with fire.
With ice? Oh, right, because that's always smart. That's what firemen do.
That's how I would do it. In Fahrenheit 451.
No, you're right. They were firefighters, and that was because
they fought with fire.
Yeah. God, Ben Franklin, a genius to do that.
A genius.
Put that order. Yeah. God, Game of Thrones is wild this season. End of this series. Really didn't end how anybody wanted, but also how everybody wanted.
I have one more MVP. I'm sorry. I have one more.
Oh, we're going to a four. All right, cool. Yeah, sorry. I use my honorary dimension as the third. And
yeah.
That's on me.
I feel you. My last one, just got to give a big shout out to George R.R. Martin, GRRM, for finally getting all of the books written and the show completed. Great. And he's just done. All that stress is gone.
Two books before, the last episode of season 8, or the last episode of the series.
Yeah.
Wow, that he finished two books in between that time.
Rumor is he pulled an all-nighter to do it. he just buckled down, tapped into his inner college freshman, and just pulled an all-nighter in a dorm room.
Yeah, and started copy and pasting from Reddit.
what a genius. He's like, it doesn't matter what I put in this now. I've made $1 billion.
Exactly. They just wanted to get it done. It turns out that those books are bestsellers now. The number one selling book of all time is 1A and 1B. They actually have a perfect tie between book 7 and book 8, or book whatever we're on.
Amazing. Amazing across the board. Brady, it's been fun recapping this show with you.
I know we're gonna have to get into another show now that this is done, and then there's no more episodes coming down in February or March or whatever of next year.
Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do in the meantime. Maybe you watch any Westworld?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, then that's not gonna work. It's gotta be something we don't watch.
I watched season 1. I haven't watched season 2.
We need to recap season 2.
Yeah, I've watched, I don't know, 40 minutes of the first episode of season 1, and that was 4 months ago, or
classic.
Whatever amount of time it was.
Classic.
So,
all right. Stay tuned. We might be recapping Westworld.
Yeah. That one will be fun.
I'm excited. All right, Brady. Is it time to air our jingle? We didn't give any room to air our jingle in the first place. God damn it.
Right. Which jingle?
We only have one, but I thought it was for Am I Dumb, and then I realized it's not that at all. That might be my submission for Am I Dumb. Am I dumb for not remembering what jingle goes where in this stupid podcast?
We're certainly bad at this, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Am I bad at this podcast?
For sure, 100%. But Brady, we have a special treat for the audience in this episode, in this segment of Am I Dumb.
Well, it's going to be weird because our audience is all coming our whole audience is going to be on this episode.
Yeah, we're pulling in our one listener.
To do it, and am I done?
Yeah, and we're doing this live. I have no idea if he's going to answer.
I don't either, and he doesn't know if he's going to answer either.
He doesn't know it's coming.
Yeah. So, we'll probably cut out some of this noise, or we won't.
Nah, it's up to you, man. You're the editor.
Are you calling him tonight?
All right, dude. Are you ready, or did you want to do your "Am I Dumb" first?
Oh, do we want to do? Yeah. Okay, let's do. All right. So, my "Am I Dumb" is more of a. We were talking before. Is more is my company dumb? Is the company that I joined dumb?
Wait, which company is it? Should we make sure we say it by name?
Should I say it? I just got a new job working for a smaller startup, and in order to train, I've been going from site to site. And my first week on the job, I was in DC, and the funny thing about that is that in my attempt to get to the job, I drove from Boston to Houston in a weekend, and was stuck in DC for 4 hours in traffic. And then immediately turned back around and went to D.C. I flew from Houston to D.C. the next day. I got stuck in D.C. on Friday and was back in D.C. on Monday. And the question is my company done for not just saying, hey, like, you're in Boston. You're going to train in D.C. You need to make it to Houston at some point. How about we put you in a hotel in D.C. on Monday? And you just drive from Boston and then continue the drive after. Why not just do that? It would have saved everybody's time, everybody's effort. But no, they didn't tell me.
To be fair to your company, they probably thought you were going to actually move, like, you know, with a moving truck and, like, movers. They didn't think you were going to leave half of your stuff in Boston and just fit it all into whatever compact car you're driving these days.
Counterpoint, they knew exactly what I was doing because they're the ones who gave me the idea to do it. They're like, so how are you moving? You just putting all your stuff into a car and then just driving? It's like, huh. I mean, I did that moving up here too. Like, it wasn't that bad. I guess that's what I'm doing now. So they knew exactly what I was doing.
Amazing. Amazing.
So, is my company dumb? Probably.
Well, because then, what happened when you got back from D.C.?
I'm flying out tomorrow to go to L.A.
Yeah, immediately.
Sorry, I'm flying out today to go to L.A.
Yeah, crazy. Just constantly crazy. Moving.
It's crazy like me.
Have you even seen any of Houston?
I have now played tennis at their golf course / tennis courts.
Amazing. All right, are you ready for this guest appearance?
Yes, and absolutely, but are you not doing yours?
No.
All right.
I've already forgotten mine.
Good.
All right, ready?
Well, then let's
All right, we are calling. I've never done a merged call before. Oh, my God, this is exciting. Wait, it held you. How do I merge them? He's gone.
Hi, you've reached Bobby Coccola. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name, number, and a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Brady, are you there?
I am here.
Dude, he didn't answer.
That makes sense.
It is 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday. Could be at church. Could be sleeping in. Could be, you know, not waiting anxiously by the phone to be on a random podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, in all honesty, he might have just, you know, had a couple too many beers in the bathtub last night, and so here we are.
Or, you know, he might be someone who just doesn't answer calls from a random number.
Yeah, should I call him? Should we cut all of this out and call him? Should we not cut all of this out and call him?
It's one of those two things.
Alright.
Well, that didn't work, Brady.
It didn't. And again, all honesty, this is exactly what I expected to happen.
Are you dumb? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, no. I mean, like, we were told that we were supposed to wait, or we were supposed to not warn him that we were calling, just call in. I was like, look, it's a good gimmick, but also, this is not going to work like the first four times we do it.
Well, so the real question is, are we dumb for doing this the next three times? And,
yes, I think on the third one, yeah, we're probably done. But yeah. Before that, we're good.
All right, checks out, my man. Brady, you have anything else?
No. I mean, we've seen how dumb we really are. I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of this World Cup. I'm glad we fixed it. I'm glad that the FIFA has taken into account all our fixes.
Yeah, we're sending this right to whatever guy's in charge of FIFA now.
I don't know. He might be in jail, though.
I think it's the Arch Grand Duke of FIFA is the official title.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
It sounds very international. Oh, get through! Dude, Spain is a better team. Spain's going to win this by 100.
Or like 2.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. They are 100% going to win this game, yes.
Yeah. All right. Brady, thank you very much for joining us. To our audience, this has been another episode of Bina and Brady with Beer in a Bathtub. I've been Bina.
I've been Brady.
And as always, we remind you to call your mother.